Do you feel too full after meals like your digestion could use a little support? Try Bitterex from Quiksilver Scientific. Bitterex is a blend of botanical bitter extracts designed to support healthy digestion and your body's natural digestive processes. Bitter herbs have been used for centuries to support digestive function, helping stimulate digestive activity. Just a few pumps before meals make Quiksilver Scientific's Bitterex easy to add to your routine. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer, and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Hunting Gear Deals series on the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Stover, and today I'm joined by Weston from Trophy Line to talk about the new products that they recently released at the 2024 ATA show, and especially the new Hyperlite sticks and saddle platform. This combination of four sticks and a platform come in at only 6.5 pounds. If you're a mobile hunter or looking to get into saddle hunting, you're going to want to listen to this episode, and especially stay tuned to the end to learn how you can win the Covert Light 2.0 saddle kit from Trophy Line. Hey, Weston, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So, Weston, what do you do for Trophy Line?
I am a marketing director for Trophy Line. So, this is going on my third year now with Trophy Line.
Okay, great. So, I've seen some of the things that you've done in the past, and so I'm expecting some good things.
Yeah.
I've seen great things. I mean, even down to the booth design, I think you've even helped with booth designs at ATA shows, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. This year we switched it up a little bit, went from a three-pole system to a four-pole, gave us a little bit more room, bigger floor plan, that kind of thing. And it was trying to take advantage of that. We really let the brand shine this year. I think it did that for sure.
I mean, you guys had a pretty good show last year. And I know this show, the Trophy Line Hyperlite system, the sticks and the platform, that was kind of the big talk coming out of the ATA show.
Yeah.
Was those two products.
Yep. That was, we felt like it had a really good presence. And then, you know, obviously kind of confirmed when we won third place for the new product launch and showcase. But yeah, we've been working on this project for 2 years. And, you know, we've been obviously a saddle company since saddles were really starting to be hot. Actually, the first saddle company, you know, back in 1961, James Green, our founder, founded Saddles. But, you know, we've been shifting, as you can probably tell, in, you know, the hunting culture, right? You know, what you see on YouTube and what's been popular, it's going from saddles to mobile hunting, and it's really shifting. But this is a project that just brings it to the next level. So people look into the saddle industry at shows like ATA, and they expect it.
So let's kind of back up a little bit. You talked about kind of like how this industry has shifted, and we've seen a lot of innovation really come from the mobile hunting brands in the market today. And everybody's kind of pushing that envelope for 1 pound sticks and lighter platforms. You guys brought with the OnX last year. This is pretty heavy.
Yes.
It was a larger platform. It was something maybe built for comfort. Had curved edges. Pretty nice platform. I mean, I really liked it for just what I got to see of it when I was in got to handle it, but it was heavy.
Yes.
This year, you guys went the opposite direction. You built something half the weight as the OnX or less than the half a weight.
Yep.
And then with a new material. So this Magnite.
Yes.
You said it's being used in some other parts of the industry. Can you share with us where Magnite is found?
Yep. So Magnite, people that are familiar on the bow side, I mentioned, you know, it's 33% lighter, 22% stronger, and 10% harder than aluminum. The other key component, when I say this, people are going to kind of know a good plus where this should be in the industry, and it already is there, but it has 3 times more vibration dampening. So when you hear that, you're like, oh, well, dead in the hand shooting bows, right? And it's found in Expedition bows. So they're currently using, their risers are made out of this, where they're getting all of this, you know, they're able to push that lightweight bow category, but then they're getting these pickup on extras like the vibration dampening over aluminum. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. So I understand that vibration dampening helps with a bow in my hand.
Yeah. But yeah.
Where does vibration dampening help me with climbing sticks and a platform?
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, if you hit these two hyperlites together, right, or stick, right, let's say, you know, any stick and every stick out there, whether they're made from carbon to aluminum or, you know, any other, let's say, materials like a Magnite, you know, when you hit something together, it's got a metal sound to it, or it's got some sound to it, right? And typically all of us guys will run either hockey tape. I like hockey tape. A lot of guys do the stealth stripping or, you know, even paracording around their platform edges, whatever, just to kind of deaden that's, I mean, we're pushing the boundary. I mean, some of us are setting up 60 yards, maybe even closer to hopefully a bedded buck in his bedroom, you know, at times, and just trying to be super quiet. But from an audibility standpoint, like, okay, 3 times more vibration dampening than aluminum. Well, what does that sound like? Well, if you bang it together, it ain't ringing as loud and it's not carrying as far in the woods. So it's not extremely notable, but it does help in that fact. And we obviously think it's a plus because the base by itself is going to be less audible than just aluminum. obviously still stealth strip it, obviously still put some hockey tape or whatever around it, but we're already starting from a lesser degree than what we were currently at. So we felt like that's important, but I know a lot of people are listening to this, but you know, that it's, I only have one stick with me right now, so I can't bang them together here and you can't really hear that, but it is a little bit notably different. And people, you weren't at ATA this year, but
maybe got in the way of that one.
Yeah. So, but really you could, you know, people were at the show could definitely tell that they were hitting them together and they could tell. Okay.
Good. So we got a new material.
Yep.
And we've got a new design. So let's just start with the climbing stick. So I'm looking for a better climbing stick. I've got lightweight 1 pound sticks that are carbon fiber. They've got some wobble in them.
Yeah. Flex.
They've got some flex.
Mm-hmm.
They work great. But I've been looking, that was the one product this year that I want to upgrade to. So when I saw these hyperlights come out, I thought, that might be it. That might be exactly what I've been looking for. So let's tell me more about the hyperlight sticks.
Yeah. So we worked on this thing for 2 years, and it was funny because we actually had a lot of the design principles first. We wanted to make something like a unibody design just to simplify the, you know, the no moving parts aspect of the climbing stick. And then we also wanted something that packs way, way tighter. And for people out there that are sitting at home listening, I think I don't know what the percentage is. I haven't looked at Apple, but, or the cell phone market, but there's a good portion of people that probably have iPhone 13s, you know, the standards or 14s, and the width of that iPhone 13 or 14 is going to be the width of you holding all four sticks together. Now, tip of standoff to the top of the top stick is going to be 6.5 inches, but the width of the sticks itself, the bundle, is an iPhone 13 thick. So it's just over 3 inches.
I was gonna say that's got to be somewhere between 3 and 4 inches when they're stacked together.
So. Yeah, it's right around that from the actual width of it, and there is a little bit of space in between every single stick, where it does allow for the cordage, right? The attachment method, but then also some stealth stripping, hockey tape, whatever. Yeah. But for people to imagine what this looks like at home, and I've got one of the sticks. So this is kind of like, I would call it like an open cell type of design.
Yeah. So it looks like your standoffs, their cleats are fitting inside of the step itself.
Yep.
And they stack together.
Open. Yes.
There's the probably maybe a quarter inch or less between each one as they're stacked together.
Yes. So it's literally, I don't even know. It's
maybe
it's
an eighth.
Extremely tiny. But the steps are open. So the step has a top and a bottom, but it's open cell where the standoff is literally going through the step. And what it actually is doing is sitting perfectly. You can kind of see these notches on the backside of this stick. It just, you know, for people listening, it looks like a stair. It's basically like you take entire stair systems and you got four stair systems and you literally just stack four stairs on top of each other, like boom, boom, boom.
Okay. So it talks about noise and stuff like the stealth stripping and things like that. So where are those steps kind of stack in together between the step, that's probably an area where you're going to want to reinforce, right?
Right here. Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know, fundamentally, this is where your noise happens, right? Or unless you
sounds like it.
Do a wild swing or something, right? But you can, I've actually got some of my old sticks where I really quickly wrap some hockey tape, one layer, but real tight. And it, you know, it adds barely anything, but it will, you know, they'll still stack, but it'll just deaden that sound a little bit more. And then I usually wrap way thicker on the bodies of my double step mini sticks currently that we offer. I did a more solid wrap around the entire body itself. And then I ended up wrapping my standoffs, but yeah, you're basically looking at stairs stacked on top of each other. And again, iPhone thickness and 6.5 inches from the top of the step to the bottom of the standoff.
Okay.
So they're literally stacking, you know, to that degree.
Yeah. So
with four of them. So.
So it looks like you've got the packability side of it and they're compact. Yeah.
The other thing too, for guys that are listening, like, this, you know, every, I'm, you know, most, if not every one, are staggered when they stack, like our current double step sticks. They start going up, right?
Right. They get a little wonky as they stack out too far.
Yeah, and if they can slip off the ends, right, as well. So they typically just – they're harder to pack that way. Whereas this, you're looking at this is a 16-inch step-to-step. So you're looking at these standoffs at 16 inches. Well, you can slide that on into it. My favorite pack is actually our plateau pack. It's a little fanny pack. This sucks up real tight to any pack, and the packability is way better.
Okay. I got a question for you. So what I've found is instead of me trying to fumble around with just three or four sticks and using eighters, I just would prefer to have extra sticks. So you sell a four pack.
Yes.
Four stacks up well. What about that fifth and sixth stick for somebody that
this is indeterminate. You could go eight sticks, you could go nine, you could go 12, you could go whatever. The build is right now, I think two of our double step mini sticks probably roughly would equal one of the four pack stacked. So you know, that's already major width. For the four pack of double step sticks, probably this high off the ground, you could probably fit eight or nine of these sticks in that same silhouette. And you're not going 6 inches this way, you know, when it's staggering off. So, you know, forward or backward.
So something you said earlier that piqued my interest. So my prior life, I was a safety guy. So I was the guy at work that told everybody you got to wear safety glasses and a harness.
Yes.
Sadly, it took me several years into my hunting career to remember that or realize that I need to wear a harness while I'm in a tree stand.
Right.
Saddles are kind of, they've kind of helped that situation. Mm-hmm. But you said something about the TMA approval. Is that something that all saddle companies are doing? Because I remember years ago that nobody was talking about TMA with some of these saddle brands.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. So right now there's not a TMA set, right, on saddles, because it's not tree stands, and there's a lot of conflicting views on some of this stuff with a platform, right? Because a platform's not a tree stand,
right?
Are you gonna sell a tree stand harness with a platform? No, that's not how you use it. So there is, you know, but technically, if you're TMA, right, every platform's got to be sold with a tree stand harness, right? So there's that, but there's a set of and all the main companies that you can probably think of right now, from a saddle standpoint, are getting their gear tested for the most part. You know, this just to make sure they are safe for everybody.
As a liability side of it, you would have to test it.
With an outside resource to be able to claim it. Yes, yeah. Right. So to say whether this is 300-pound weight limit tested. Right. Generally, you know, some of the testing facilities most of us know about and when we trust, and that's where we test that third party testing, right? As well as obviously like an insane amount of testing ourselves, you know, and putting a lot of weight on this, putting a lot of weird scenarios, right, and all that stuff for watching for kickouts and watching for how it cams and all that stuff. Different tree bark, right? I mean, rain.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just the different tree types.
Exactly. I mean,
you can test on a nice hardwood oak tree, move over to a slick bark beech tree, and those sticks and that platform bite completely different.
Right.
I fought a pair of sticks this year, and I was like, I'm never using these things again. I got into this bedding area, and every tree in here was the same. It's one of those junk trees is what I call it. It doesn't have any value. But that's what was in the bedding area. I could not get my sticks to bite on that tree, and it was everything I could do to get up and down and without falling. Yeah. And I tightened, and I said, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to go away from the ropes. Maybe that's my problem. So,
mm-hmm. There is definitely certain like attachment methods and stuff that you got to really get used to using, you know, and it's right. There's a learning curve on some of those things versus like, most of our stuff right now is sold with a cam buckle. It's like set. It's like a ratchet strap. I mean, you set it and it's not going to potentially flex or loosen up or whatever on you. So yeah, there's definitely some of that. Okay, going back to the TMA side of things though, like again, most of the saddle, there's a lot of saddle brands popping up, right? We all know that.
Oh, they're
like,
everywhere.
There's new ones every day. But for the most part, like going with one of the main brands, you know, I'd say there's like, you know, obviously some major brands, and there's probably overall like five, I guess you call mainstream brands in the saddle market right now. And those are all for the most part going to be testing. So from a sticks platform and even the saddle side, those are all being,
They're being tested, but there's not actual standards written by TMA that says you have to do this. It's just a testing. This is your weight limit. So what's the weight limit on the sticks and the platform in the Hyperlite series?
So the Hyperlite, the sticks, these sticks right here have been already tested to 300. So 300. To get that rating, you technically have to get the 600, right? It's a 600 test. So double that weight. And then there's also the cyclic load test of where they basically put that amount or higher for it's like 10,000 times. Boom, 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 boom. It's really tested.
Yeah, so you got to have a safety factor built into that. So
yes.
Back for those, put that safety guy hat on it. It's called a safety factor. So
yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, and it's also, I mean, that's, you know, when you look at, you know, different scenarios and hunting and then, you know, people carrying packs and stuff like that. I mean, some guys that are up in those weights, they want to be able to trust something like that and know that they're going to be good. But in general, that's a major benefit, I think, on the saddle side. Like, it's hard to climb a tree without being safe with a saddle. I mean, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're doing that.
I wholeheartedly agree. So, like, coming back, I've been down to DBI Solas and did their fall protection training course for a week. Like, I've spent a lot of time in a safety harness for work-related purposes. I'll be honest with you. With the harnesses on the market today, I feel safer in my saddle.
Yeah.
Than I do in a harness, a safety harness that comes with a tree stand, or you can buy aftermarket. Not to say that they won't do the job that they're designed to do.
Yeah.
But I feel when I'm climbing up in a saddle that I'm locked in and I'm not going anywhere in case I fall.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and I think, like, you know, from a standpoint of, okay, as you're climbing, you're going to swing back into the tree. Right. But even when you're on the tether, I mean, probably the worst that's going to happen is you scuff your shins or your knee, but there's no like the suspension trauma falling beneath to a point where you can't rescue, you know, and you have to call somebody. And there's not like that timeout factor where you could potentially pass out or, you know, there's blood concern there. So there's a lot of benefits to that. And overall, like I think there's like, there's a switch. It portrays the mind. When you first try saddle hunting, it's like Jesus take the wheel when you lean back 20 feet.
Yep. You got a lot of trust on that first lean.
That's what people think. But then when you actually get into a saddle and you start hunting with it, like I always used to hunt with a Lone Wolf Hand Assault 2 climber.
Yep.
And then Summits before that. And then, but it was like the open shot. Well, I mean, I'm trying to get to the smallest tree stand, you know, technically I was trying to get to a platform. That's what I was trying to do. But when you're like that and you don't have a saddle on, you're basically like, I would always tuck my shoulders so I don't hit my bow because my bow's right next to me, and I'd be like tiptoeing around so I don't fall, you know, I'd be barely turning around. Whereas a saddle, like, you're connected to the tree, there is way more freedom and way more peace of mind because you always have, you know, you always have tension, and you are always, it feels like something just holding you up there the entire time. It's not a, oh, I'm going to fall, it's going to hurt like hell, you know, if I do slip and it's going to make a lot of noise. It's like, I can just lean back and trust it the whole time.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people realize, even on this, on the fall protection that you're wearing in the workplace, how much force the body goes through when you actually fall and the lanyard, shock absorbing lanyard, does its job. So
yeah,
as a safety guy to me, like, I can't use my saddle in the work environment, but man, in the tree stand, even and on platform, I really prefer it over axle harness.
Yep. So yep.
Let's talk about those platforms. So you got a 2-pound platform.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Hyperlite platform. Here. Yeah. Same material. And really the best thing for a lot of people, especially if they're in the saddle market, is you included the EDP. So I've got the EDP with me. And the reason I don't have a platform is it's show season. So we just came off we got a platform at Great American Outdoor Show, and then we're going into NWTF next week. So it's been crazy. And so all of our samples are being shown to a lot of our dealers right now, all obviously excited consumers at shows and whatnot. So,
oh yeah. Cause we know everybody's turkey hunting wearing a saddle and platform carrying sticks in, right?
You know what? We went to NWTF last year, and it was like, It was crazy to tap into that market, and like, I mean, we just blew the doors off. It was awesome. It was pretty exciting. But
that's the one consumer or the show that I haven't made it to yet. But next year, I think it's got to be on a priority list,
dude. From an entertainment standpoint, I went to SHOT for the first time this year, but I had a better time at NWTF. I mean, that place. I mean, you went from Vegas to Nashville, but NWTF was just off the charts. I mean, I enjoyed the heck out of it. You know, from the consumers and selling and being at the show to the after party stuff like that, all the Nashville stuff. It was a better vibe. But so this is the EDP, and the reason I'm holding this up is because the Magnite, the Hyperlight platform, is essentially in rough shapes the same exact size and kind of the design principles that we have of this. It's literally roughly the exact same shape. It's a 12 inch by 12 inch platform, but instead of at 3.7 pounds for this aluminum cast platform, which if anybody's hunted out of the EDP or stepped on this, this is, from a standard standpoint, this is the most rigid, non-flex, safe platform you're ever going to get on the market. I mean, this thing is rock solid. Like, you get on this thing, you're a big guy, it ain't flexing. It ain't moving on that.
Yeah, when it's, I mean, those that can't see it, it looks pretty sturdy built.
Yes, it is. But it's 3.7 pounds.
Right.
You have this exact same platform in a sense, but it's right just over 2 pounds with the Hyperlight platform. For like even more so, you can kind of see this design where you've got the teeth, right? It's got that same design where you've just got the top of the teeth, the top of the platform, on top of the post. You've actually got the teeth that's going to cam into the tree. Well, those teeth have an open cell track in the center where you're going to be able to take that Hyperlight platform, the Hyperlight sticks, and stack them all in line, where it's going to basically stack like this, where you've got the platform on top of the four pack of sticks, or you could even turn it around and have them inside of the standoffs. So whatever kind of pack you're using, if you want to go vertical and all straight in line, you can. Or like a lot of times people breaking them up, the packability of it, we've included to basically get rid of the teeth on the top of that and bury them inside where it's not even going to be a factor once you have four sticks.
Okay, so let's do some math here. You got a 2 pound platform and you've got four sticks and they totaled 4.5 pounds. So we've got 6.5 pound system.
Yeah, so 17.5 ounces per stick, and then just over 2 pounds, so like 2.1, 2.2. We're still actually playing with it to see where we can go with it. So, I mean, it's just a little tweaking. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, if you're still tweaking it, when can this consumer expect the Hyperlight series to actually be available to purchase?
This summer. We're going to be able to. Our hope is to at least have it out by like July. So, okay.
Yeah, I remember somebody made some big waves in the mobile hunting game a couple of years ago, and
yeah,
it never showed up.
Yeah, and that's not like, this is why you're not seeing a pre-order from us or a pre-sale. We don't really want to do that. We've never done that, actually. In all of Trophy Line's history, we have never done a pre-order or pre-sale. One, it can get and get bad quick, right? I mean, people give them their money and they're waiting for product, and it begins to be kind of not fun for all parties involved. And we don't want to do that. We like to make sure our stuff is completely bulletproof tested, and then, you know, so when you get it, I mean, we have pretty fast shipping. So I mean, it's like 2 or 3 day when you order online from us. So that's pretty good. And we have, I would put our customer service up to anybody, not even in the saddle industry. I put our customer service up to anybody in the hunting and outdoor industry from a number one standpoint. So
let's talk about shipping. Where are they being shipped from? Is this a made in America product?
Yeah. So Hyperlight is fully made in the US. Both the sticks and the platform are fully made in the US. And we've been expanding on the US line. So we've got our Hyperlight, the Vanatic was the launch last year, all of our platforms and sticks, all US.
That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are just wanting to save some money. Then there's the diehard guys that are looking to buy American made products.
Yeah. And so, and we're actually out of Pittsburgh, PA. So that's where we're out of.
Yeah, I won't even touch the Steelers stuff.
No,
I'm just going to ignore that one.
Yeah, that's,
if there's any Steelers fans, guys, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm just going to keep on rolling. Just let it slide right off onto the Super Bowl when nobody's in it.
From Pittsburgh. But no, it's going to be pretty awesome, pretty exciting, and I think the reaction off of ATA was, I think, more than I expected. So I'm
For somebody that didn't get to go to ATA this year for the first time in a long time, that was the one product. But that, and maybe the Buck Ops thing, still trying to get my head wrapped around that one.
How I was there and I never got to go see it, but I heard him slinging and I saw the crowd going that way for the stardom. Yeah, so
so I'm excited to see where these are going to come out and how I can integrate them maybe into my hunting arsenal. But where we at as far as pricing? So American-made products are typically a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
You got a brand new material that we're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
Where are we at on price?
Yeah. So the sticks for the four pack's going to be in the $449 area.
That's not bad. That's way cheaper than most high-end 1 pound sticks.
I think the breakdown's like $112 or $115, somewhere in that ballpark. And then the platform is going to be at $299.
Okay. It sounds like it's right in line with other products in the past and actually under some of the high-end 1 pound stick range stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So, and then again, I mean, like this is, I think this is, and that's why we've waited so long. I mean, this is the kind of the pinnacle, like this is the entire package. I mean, it's a category win in terms of, at least in our opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, honestly, especially the customers once they get it, but packability, weight's obviously there, durability, weight, safety-wise, testing. I mean, to get a lightweight stick that's already testing to that degree is spot on. So, full package.
Okay. So, let me run this by you. We've seen innovation in the archery industry for bows kind of plateau for where we're at right now.
Right.
Maybe I heard Kevin Strother talking. Maybe he's got something in the works that's going to blow our minds. But that part of the industry is kind of plateaued. What about the mobile hunting industry? Is it at a plateau now? Is this the top of the food chain, or is there something in the works that's going to blow our minds again next year?
No. Last year, if you would have asked me that, I'd be like, you know, these projects, and we're working on stuff for 2026, ideas for 2027. This was I keep saying a 2 year project. It was actually a 4 year project from when like the first paper was on, or the design was on the paper. And then real hard gung ho 2 years. So, but technically, I mean, it's been like a project 4 years in the making. Last year we were launching the Onyx, like we know what we're working on. So, you know, it's like, we're going to blow the socks off next year, you know? It's just not ready. But, you know, it's funny because I think every year, you know, it's always like who has the shiniest object, right? From a competition standpoint, it's always cool to see. I mean, we had literally at ATA, we had some of the biggest competition from two different companies walk into the booth at the same time just to check us out, just to check out what this product is.
And that's the cool part about the mobile hunting industry. If you look at some of the other niches within the hunting industry, it gets really competitive and cutthroat.
Yes.
I've noticed that the mobile hunting side of it, for the most part, is more team building. We are the mobile hunting side of it. They're building a culture within the hunting community.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody kind of works well together for the most part.
Yeah.
Because if you're saddle hunting and I'm saddle hunting, then we're all growing the kind of the sport of saddle hunting as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And it is, I mean, in all respects, every single there isn't a single show that goes by that we don't make the rounds and talk to everybody, because it's just catching up and it's awesome. And it's developing a culture, and there's absolutely no room for, you know, sour attitudes or competition to that degree within the culture itself. But at the end of the day, we are literally living our dream jobs. And this is selling hunting gear. It's not rocket science. I mean, sure, some of the science might be rocket science, but you know, at the end of the day, it's selling hunting gear, and it's cool and it's fun. And it's, you know, it ain't going to last forever. Like, have fun doing it, you know?
And, no, absolutely.
And I think that's the cool part about it. But from an innovation standpoint, I mean, what I was getting to is like every year someone's got the shiny object, right? They get the trophy of like, what's the biggest, best thing this year, right? And it's like every year I think somebody blows the socks off of what was there last year. So it's always cool to see. I definitely feel like we have it this year with this whole system. And I think what the cool thing is, what I'm excited to see is, you know, the water raises right now where everybody's got to rise with it. So what's the next big jump? Well, we think that it might be hard for somebody because this is a new material. I mean, this isn't just the design that's awesome. This is a new material. So it's going to be interesting to see if someone can kind of top this, and it might be a while because honestly, it could, from a material standpoint. So it's fun.
So is this some type of proprietary material to where,
yeah,
another, if I started my own saddle company,
yeah,
and Mobile Sticks, can I use the same material?
Yeah.
Just copy?
Yeah. No, they're so that's the reason for that. Yeah. So there's, okay, there, you're not. Yeah. So that's the exciting part about it. Then, you know, it's going to be fun to see where we can take this type of material in a market like this. So it's going to be fun.
I mean, there's been such a boom in the saddle and mobile hunting in space for the years, and there's still so much growth potential.
Yes.
Yeah. You back up and you look at the e-bike market, and I thought, my gosh, it's capped out a couple years ago.
Right.
And then there's a new e-bike company every day, and they're still finding ways to survive, and it's still growing.
Yeah.
I remember last year at the Harrisburg show, I was blown away by how many people were interested in e-bikes and didn't own an e-bike yet. And I thought, okay, there's space to grow.
Yeah.
And people are tapping. There's still a lot of space in the mobile hunting side of things because you just told me you've got a, what was it, 6.5 pound system?
Yeah.
That summit tree stand you were carrying back in the day, what, 20, 22 pounds?
Yeah, that open shot was like, it might have been sub 20, like 19. And then even the Lone Wolf hand climber was 14 pounds. But I mean, to be honest, to our degree, like I run a multi-step aider. So like a two or three step aider. So I actually subtract a stick or two from my setup. And I'm a short guy. I'm like 5. With cowboy boots on, I'm like 5'8". So like 5'6", 5'7". I'm a short guy. I'm one of those guys you meet in person. I'm shorter than expected. But I subtract a stick and I use a multi-step aider. So I'm like dropping as much weight as I think possible from our system standpoint. And we've literally cut that system in half from a platform and four sticks especially. But even like a three stick and a Mission or Onyx platform per se, we've subtracted that in half. You're at 6.5 pounds where you were at, you know, 10 to, you know, I'd say 12, 13 on average, because one of the systems I run quite frequently is two sticks and the Wingman platform, because they can all go on together. And this is just sitting above 7 pounds, but I've only got three sticks here. And just so happens this stick is also my platform. So, I mean, that's incredible that I'm still dropping weight from three sticks, and I've got four sticks and a platform, and I'm still dropping a pound.
Yeah. See, my mind works the exact opposite. I'm like, oh, I've got this 6.5 pound system. That means I can carry two or three more sticks, and it's not going to work. I'm not have to worry about it. So
that's
where I'm at. Like, I can be quieter, more comfortable. Yeah. I don't have to pull around with the aiders.
Yeah.
I know I'm running up to six sticks with my setup right now.
Wow. Okay.
And usually it's five, but I'll carry the sixth one with me. And the reason being is in the wintertime, that, say, if I'm running a Sitka Fanatic series, I can't get my leg up that high.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to sweat. I don't want to work that hard. So I'm spacing my sticks out 18, 22 inches, something like that in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm running more sticks. So this lighter setup allows me to run more sticks, and I'm still not overweighting my pack each and every day.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think it's like I cannot run mentally. I can't not run an aider off the first step. Just because it's like a sin for me to not put that stick as high as I can reach, you know, off that first one. For some reason in my mind, I totally agree with messing with the aiders after the first stick, you know, because that is. But I hope to do it for a few more years until like it starts getting harder, dangerous for me to do it. So
let's talk about aiders. So we haven't mentioned aiders in this system. Are they a part of it, or is this something more for the DIY guys, or an accessory that you're going to offer us later on?
saddle guys are always we do sell aiders. We sell single step aiders. And then one of my personal favorites is like I think it's a Backwoods Life 3-step aider. But saddle guys are gear guys. I mean, they're gear nuts. They always tailor, you know, they always tailor fit their gear to themselves and what they want to do. But we do sell aiders, and you bring up a good point. The attachment method for these sticks, I forgot to mention as well. All of our systems come with a cam buckle strap right now. The platform will have a cam buckle strap. I mean, really, there's nothing on the market that's just going to, like, make a platform cam in to that degree and be that rock solid than a cam buckle strap from, like, a safety standpoint. But the sticks are going to come with and people can kind of look this up, USA Amsteel with a Prusik knot. So it's a 6-foot custom Amsteel with a Prusik. And what you're doing is the sides of these sticks, for guys that don't have that are not watching the video, you're basically, it's a miniature cleat where it's got a hole punched out, and then it's a basically a hitch where you're passing through the hole, and then you're just hitching over the tabs. And then obviously you're tightening up, and then the same for the Prusik. But again, for people that aren't watching this video, this stick, you know, they might have seen the images and stuff, but it's basically got a bunch of open cell squares in the center of it. And what's
the stick design reminds you of the Matthews Phase 4 riser almost, because of those square punch outs.
Yeah.
And then these hitches that he's describing look just like if you're hooking up your boat.
Yeah.
And you're just running the line through it, circling it back.
Yeah. Yep. And then what, you know, the other cool part is the stick itself, if you pull the excess through, it acts as a tender where you can pull it that way. Yeah, so then you can actually set it, and then, you know, just for reassurance's sake, you can just simply do another quick hitch. You know, a lot of Amsteel runners just do that. We just run a quick hitch and lock it in solid. Okay. So, yeah, that's the attachment method. So Amsteel, just again, to kind of keep it that lightweight theme, and you're looking at 17.5 ounces, and then you're still under 18 ounces for the entire thing. So
is it possible to put a cam buckle strap on these sticks if somebody wanted to?
Yeah. I mean, these tabs they're not going to slip off here. So, I mean, you can run, I mean, again, it's from a manufacturing standpoint, run with what we send it, but gear nuts will be gear nuts. So, make sure it's super safe, but There's always going to be people running different things. You know, I probably will look at some stuff, but this is a absolutely rock solid option. I'm really happy that we went with this, and this is what it's been tested with. So, this is definitely what I would recommend. This the 6-foot amps that it's going to come with.
Okay.
So, and I wouldn't. I mean, I would really hate to run cam buckles. I mean, I do like the safety standpoint of cam buckles, but I would hate to run a cam buckle strap like it. From a weight standpoint with this system.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose. You're riding on 6.5 pound SERP.
Yeah.
A 6.5 pound system. And then you're adding cam buckles that, I don't know, pound for 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah. I'm not,
I don't know the weight of them, but guessing they're not the lightest things in the world.
Yeah. And then a lot of times, like for me personally, I do like I actually run, 8, or I think I even have I think I got 8-footers, the daisy chains, Amsteel daisy chains. I like the way the daisy chains function, but also like Kentucky private land, I'm running on like giant walnuts and cottonwood trees that, like, frankly, I've been to the limit of an 8-foot, or I think I even have a 10-foot. I mean, it's like humongous trees on the bases to get that first stick on. Yeah. And I probably shouldn't be climbing that. You can't even get your tether around it. So that first stick, I'm not even tied in.
So I went out to Kansas this year, and that was one of the things that I had a hard time with, was finding a tree
that was
small enough to climb, because the bark was much thicker, and it was just harder to climb up.
Well, they're all old trees. They're all fence rows. I mean,
it was great, like, hunting once you got up there. But, man, finding that one tree was a pain in the butt. Whereas if I'm hunting in Ohio or West Virginia, I can find that 12-inch tree pretty simply and climb up quick and easy.
This thing is giant long. I mean, this thing is ridiculously long. And I even have, I think I have even a longer one. Like, I bought the longest one. I always have at least one in my pack just for that bottom step. I mean, obviously, the tree tapers off way smaller. And then I think I've even combined them before just to make sure I can get 10 feet off the ground. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some climbing sticks that I'm running 12-foot ratchet straps on to get up into sets that are staying there all season long. So I've definitely seen that being a hindrance, but it's one of those things where it's not going to hinder you on everything.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, that's exciting. And we have something else new.
What else we got besides the Hyperlite series?
Yeah. So for 2024, we launched at ATA, deluxe knee pads. So just thicker, more overall built knee pads that aren't just like a minimal thought process. They're kind of overbuilt for cushioning. And then we got a mobile gear tote. So imagine it's soft tote that kind of folds down and it actually stacks 5 inches. So if, like, you're going on a hunting trip and stuff and you want extra storage while you're in camp, stuff to throw your clothes in or whatever, you can kind of pack that away. Trying to think what else. Couple other odd and ends. We actually just added Ropeman 4s, which we're the first, from a mechanical ascender here in the U.S. to be able to do that. And then the big one besides the Hyperlite was our Venatic saddle in Spectre and First Light Spectre camo. It's actually, so when we launched the Venatic, it was a ripstop material. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't stretch, very breathable, very, very tough. Very, very lightweight. The Venatic saddle alone is 20 ounces naked. So an extremely lightweight system. I mean, it literally feels like there's nothing there when you have this saddle on. And the Spectre Venatic's at 24, but it's the First Light's four-way stretch. So it actually allows your butt to kind of punch through there. It's actually a little bit more comfy, in my opinion. And it just has that stretch. It's a real nice feel. And obviously, Spectre First Light camo.
Nice.
So. Yep, that was another big one, and the pouches to match. And then we are upgrading to Amsteel bridges as well for those Spectre Venatics and the Venatics moving forward for 2024.
Man, so the Hyperlite kind of took the shine of everything else, but looks like you got a lot of other products for this year.
Yeah, and we might be dropping some more stuff in 2024 still. So there's always...
there's no better place to talk about it than right here. On the Hunting Gear podcast.
Yeah. No, we're still a ways out, but you know, from a market standpoint, there's always big drops now, and then there's big drops in peak season, you know, July, August, September, right when everybody's getting jacked to get out in the woods. So
I tell you what, buddy, when you're getting ready to drop it, I want to be the first to know about it. So maybe we could jump back on the podcast, do a quick saddle hunting episode and talk all about it.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. It's going to be a fun release, I think, and it's you know, maybe not quite as shocker as like Hyperlite, but it'll still be up there. So I'm excited for that. Okay.
So, is there anything else from Trophy Line this year that we need to know about?
If you're trying to get into saddle hunting, we've really tried to make it really easy. Last year was a big education year for us. You know, there's a lot of education material out there from YouTube, podcasts. Right. Articles, you know, hunting gear deals, like there's just a lot of information out there. But from our standpoint, like our products, we try to make it easier. And then we also did, I think it's pretty cool just because I worked on it for a long time, but a rewards program, like you get in there, you buy a set, you should be rewarded for spending that much cash. Right. Yeah. It's going to be your setup for a long time, but there's actually a significant amount of points that come back to you. So when you make, you know, a lot of guys, they jump into it with a platform, sticks, and saddle, or at least a platform and a saddle. They have sticks, right? Somewhere down the line, they got sticks. When you spend that, you should get enough points back to actually get the, whether it's dollars off the sticks or that mechanical ascender that you didn't get that you really wish you had instead of messing with a Prusik. Some little things like that, knee pads. I mean, there's always, that's the fun part about saddling. Like, you're going to pick up so much little stuff, but the stupidest little thing is going to make all the difference for you in your system.
I mean, even just adjusting your bridge and stuff, when figuring that out makes a difference in how this performs. So
exactly.
Like, I was going to go ahead and kind of quiz you on some saddle hunting tips and stuff like that, but I'm just going to jump in with mine first. For somebody that just dove into it in recent years and doesn't saddle hunt all the time, you're a saddle hunting guy. I'm not. I got preset stands everywhere. My yep. saddle is a backup tool or a scouting tool.
Yeah.
That's about it. I will run a gun with it long enough for me to put a hang-on stand in that area if I find a good spot. But I will caution everyone, when you get ready to saddle hunt, saddle hunting is a fun, exciting way to change your hunting style.
Mm-hmm.
Practice. Practice, practice, practice. Get comfortable with your system and the saddle
yep.
for long periods of time.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean practice during hunting season. Practice outside of hunting season, in the backyard, different trees, different types of trees, not sizes and shapes. I'm talking different types of bark. Get used to climbing and ascending, or descending, ascending in that system.
In the dark, too. Like, oh, practice yeah. in the dark, because, like, everything changes. Honestly, a lot of stuff changes in that standpoint, where you take a lot of things for granted, just being able to see, and from a headlight standpoint, and coming down yeah. especially.
Yeah, so, I mean, I could see, not to knock the hyperlight sticks, but I could see fumbling around trying to get that Amsteel rope through the hole of that.
Yeah. But, it's such a, like you said, when you practice with it, it's just a instinctual second nature. Everything exactly. is. And it's, one, it's going to be safer, but then two, it's just, that's why, you know, from like, I mean, obviously everybody, I think, and I could say this about everybody that saddle hunts, we all still ground hunt out of blind. Sometimes we still hunt out of tree stand sometimes, especially if we're taking a youth hunter out or
for sure.
whoever we, it's just a tool set, but I like, I've adopted it where I don't know the last time I hung a preset, like hang on stand, like I just jump around even on private ground with the system. And it really, it's just like, once you've got enough practice with it, and don't get me wrong, I'm still learning, I'm still picking up things, like stupid things, even from other guys, and this is the fun part about it. I'm still even learning my own system, and it's been a long time, and I'm still learning. But you are just so fast at it, it's just like you'd rather just do that system because it's what you know and what you love. And it's almost weird when you do jump into that preset hang on, and you're like, what is going on? It's just totally, it's just like, it's otherworldly, you know, you're not yeah. used to it.
Okay. For an experienced saddle hunter that you are, and heck, you work for Trophy Line, so you ought to know mm-hmm. a little bit about it.
Yeah.
What kind of tips could you give us other than practice? And I already beat you to the easy one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of tips can you leave us with to help us go down this journey, whether you're a new saddle hunter or just like yourself and you're an experienced and you're looking for something different?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be like, you know, for, I guess, first off, to go with the practice, it'd be practice the shooting, especially, you know, that portion of it went from a bow standpoint, or if you're rocking a crossbow, like practice using your arm, like on that bridge, and using that rope to your advantage, or like with a gun as well. We got some videos out there that show you how to, you can actually use that. I mean, it's actually way more stable than you'd think from a shooting standpoint. That would be the biggest thing. Practice shooting, because you need to know what to do in certain scenarios. As hunters, we know what deer are going to do from a body language standpoint, but you really got to pick it up fast and be able to know which way they're going. And you need to know how to react. It's really good to know what shot options you have available, other than just like scramble, turn around, doing different things. Like there are some really good things that you can do in the moment that's happening. Yeah, go ahead. You're going to say something?
Yeah. So giving an example of what I did this year, I sneak into this new setup and I was excited about it. I'm used to hanging a tree stand. I take the saddle in, I climb up, I hang my platform, I get in this, and I'm like, oh crap. My shooting hand is on the wrong side because I'm looking at the tree now instead of with my back to the tree. So I had to go back and rehang everything
yeah.
on the other side of the tree because I was just programmed. I had practiced so much with the hang on stand.
Exactly.
And that's where I went to. I went for a left-handed shot off the left-hand side, which is my strong arm. And then it was completely opposite when you're in the saddle.
Yeah. So, and that's, I think that's,
you had to switch it over.
You know, and that would be one of my second tips, I guess, would be like a mix of like, just adapt, like don't adapt to it, but like, I think see it for what it is. Like it's a system that like, you know, I do a lot of like the public land hunting, but I do a lot of private land hunting as well. And like, there's a lot of times I just like will walk in and I'm just kind of like, the wind is totally jacked up from what the weather was actually saying. Every spot is different when you, especially if it's a new spot with the thermals and this and that, the thermals are changing every hour, especially like during the morning as it's getting, you know, sun's rising. It's like, there's so many components to it. Then even in the hunt, especially when hunts get good in late October and then in November, like scenarios might change. You're going to notice them feeding on that acorn tree 60 yards up. Like, go ahead and get so comfortable with the system that you're going to be comfortable enough to take this thing down and move and then set it back up in 20 minutes and be on that kill tree when the next band of deer come through. Like,
yeah, I can't tell you how many times I have hindered myself because I didn't want to put forth the effort to take my tree stand down, all my sticks, and move it 50 yards
it's
away.
It's not like you're lazy. It's like you just, like, there's something, and I think, like, especially climbers trained us, it sounds like a, you know, a bear coming down the tree. Like, you can't physically do it, but you can. Like, and I think that's what I'm trying to say is, like, get so comfortable with the system that you are, you know, there's that saying that slow is smooth is fast. Well, all of that is true and extremely quiet when you get to that point. I mean, when you are really, really in the game, you are smooth, you're fast, and you're deadly quiet, and you can do things like that. And it's like second nature. Like, you see it, you're going to move there because there's only a couple days that acorn tree might be extremely hot like it is in that moment, or that cold front's only 2 days. Like, things are happening. You gotta make the move, and you gotta make it happen.
And I can't tell you how many times I went out this season with my saddle set up, didn't find the sign that I was looking for, and never got in the tree.
Yeah.
Just kept walking. And I wasn't hindered by the weight of the setup.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother me not to get up in a tree. I just kept on walking and didn't find the sign I wanted. And I kept on rolling.
Yeah, and that's
one of the cool things I like about it.
And I think it opens you up too. Like, it, for me, it opened up. I actually didn't even jump in a saddle hunt until after I went out west. And it was because I saw a 35 pound elk pack. And then I saw my Summit with my filming gear. And I'm like, why do they weigh the same? I'm carrying my entire camp for 7 days. Why does it weigh as much as my whitetail system? That doesn't make any sense. And so it just opened it up to like, not trying to focus on getting to the tree because I'm suffering. But it opened it up to, like, I guess just spending more time scouting and learning and getting on sign. And then I guess the last one to leave them with would be, whether you are jumping into saddle hunting or you think you're, you know, experienced, you got a couple of years under your belt, or you're kind of in, you're over that point, even like maybe someone like me. Dude, I can't tell you, if I still jump on or I get with a deer camp, like this year, I was in Nodak camp with some guys, and you're always picking up stuff. So if you're jumping into saddle hunting, like, go to a shop that has a bunch of brands and try them, or go to a show and try them, see what gear you're using, ask the guys that are showing you in the saddle, like, what is every component of your system? And then jot them down for real, because again, that stupidest little item is going to make some of the biggest differences. And then to that point, every video that you watch on someone's saddle system or how to saddle hunt, they're going to show you one of those little items, or they're going to show you a little trick. And those things, I think it's again, that whole smooth aspect. It, in no way, shape, or form, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree, is saddle hunting is tough. Like, I don't think it's tough. Like, once you get it and you figure it out, it's, in my opinion, it's just so much easier. I mean, you're dealing with you're not having to hang a big hang on. You're not having to physically exert yourself on pulling that climber up and pushing. It's, you're dealing with a you know, a 2 pound platform now that's easy to cam in and hang. I mean, everything's easy about it. It's as easy and as lightweight as you can go.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changing the way a lot of people hunt. It's actually changing the way that I'm starting to hunt as well. So I'm looking forward to trying to get my hands on this Hyperlite set, these sticks especially, because I want to replace my current setup.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. Well, man, it's been great. I've enjoyed learning more about the Hyperlite system from Trophy Line. Appreciate you coming on the podcast today. As always, I've saved the best for last. Remember the giveaway that I mentioned at the start of the show? Well, Trophy Line has provided one lucky listener a Covert Lite 2.0 saddle kit with a retail value of $350. So head over to huntinggeardeals.com today to learn how to get entered. And be sure to subscribe to the Hunting Gear Deals daily deal email so you never miss a deal.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
IPVanish protects every device you own, your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. And with no device limits, one account covers everything. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at IPVanish.com/audio. And take control of your privacy with IPVanish.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.